Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Central Baptist Church Wednesday evening Bible study. If you're one of ours, as always, we're glad you're joining us. If you happen to be just tuning in from anywhere around the world, we want to welcome you tonight. This is Wednesday, August the 12th, and we're going to be looking in God's Word tonight from passages out of the book of Romans chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 10. If you don't have it, reach up there and hit that pause button. Grab you a Bible so that you can be coming right along with us as we enjoy time around God's Word this evening. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 1 here in just a moment. And essentially the title of what we're looking at is that faith comes by hearing. We really get some good marching orders as to what we as Christians should be doing as we go through this life. And to start off with, I just want to ask you this question. Think back to a time when you were wrong. What was that like when you had to admit that? Now, some people out there are probably saying, well, I remember one time when I was wrong, but I had a little bit more trouble admitting that, and some people do. In today's passages, we get into a circumstance and a situation where the Jews were viewing salvation completely wrong. Now, in fairness, I've said this many, many times, that they were on that cusp of going from being under the law to under God's grace. And I know that had to have been a challenging time for anybody who went through those particular instances of changeover, because there was times when a man, his righteousness was counted as his salvation pre-Jesus Christ. But then after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, there was that new covenant. Remember a couple weeks ago when we had communion, when we held up the cup, and Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. That was what he was talking about. Salvation would no longer be counted to somebody as righteous. In other words, there had to be an acceptance of Jesus Christ into a person's heart and life for salvation to occur. So we're in a situation in Romans chapter 10 where Paul is having to tell his Jewish brothers that they're wrong in the concept in regard to salvation. Let's look at the scriptures and look in on Paul with the Jews. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they may be saved. Verse 2, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them." Now, just to pause for a moment in verse 5, latter part of verse 5, he has quoted Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. So if you want to write that in your margin, that'll tell you where that came from. Now, verse 6 says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Verse 9, "that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." Now, I've got to pause right there for just a moment, because I really want you to jot that verse down in your Bible. Highlight it, underline it, go to the front, write it down, and I want you to look at that once again. Verse 12, it says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. All who call upon him. Now, if you've been in our church, you know what I say, and I'll probably even be able to hear you through video when I say all means all, and that's all that all means. So notice that once again, the Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Saying that with a question. Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, I pray that you will just reach within our hearts. Lord, that you would still us before you. Father, as we gathered around your word this past Sunday, we talked about how many distractions and all the white noise that seems to come into our lives that, you know, will tend to crowd you out. Father, for these moments, I pray that we will deal with the white noise. I pray that the distractions that could come about in our hearts and lives right now, that you would just hold them back, that we might hear from you and hear from your word today. Lord, speak to our heart. Bless each and every hearer, wherever they may be. Give them a special blessing for having come around your word as a body of believers this very night. Use me, use your servant, Father, that you and you alone will be heard and exalted along the way, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see what's taking place here when it comes down to Paul having a conversation. You have to remember that back in that day, the Jews were this the elite, the educated class. And in fact, the Word of God tells us that the Jews were the ones that should have been looking for Jesus, the one that should have known him when he came. The Bible tells us that the Jewish nation, or the nation of Israel, is God's chosen people. Let me just insert something here just because of the modern day that we live in. That is the reason why America, I believe, in a lot of ways has been blessed, because they've always been a friend of Israel. The Lord in his word said those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And America has so far stood with Israel. And I pray that we continue to do so according to God's word. So Israel, the Jewish people, are God's chosen people. They were the ones that should have been looking for his arrival. That's what the Old Testament prophets from the days of old had been prophesying, that there would be a coming Messiah. The issue is that when they came, even though Israel and the Jewish people were the learned people, even though they were the educated ones, even though they knew what the scriptures were, the word tells us that Jesus, when he came to his own knew him not, his own received him not. In other words, the ones that should have known that he was the true Messiah didn't know that. They had gotten a form of religion, a form of godliness. Now, they were following the law, the Old Testament law, but it became more about ritual. It became more about rite. And if you understand the term legalism as I use it, there was a lot of legalism that had come into play. But Paul, as he goes to his brethren, now Paul was the disciple that caught a lot of heat for actually even preaching to the Gentile people. But he went to his Jewish brethren, and notice what he says in verse 1. He says, brethren, he's talking to the Jewish people, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they may be saved, that they may come to know him. And I'm sure that they were sitting there thinking, well, we're doing a really great job. We've got a great religion going on. We've got a great thing taking place. But he goes on in verse 2 and he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, you know what zeal is. Zeal is excitement. In other words, Paul's saying that the Jewish people do have an excitement for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they were excited. Folks, you can do a lot of good things for all the wrong reasons. I've said so many times that one of the things that we as Christians have to guard ourselves of is that we don't become so busy even doing good things, that we miss out on the great things that God wants us to do. And Paul was saying the Jewish people have a zeal for God, but he says, but it's not according to knowledge. Now notice what he goes on and says in verse 3. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now let's go back for just a minute to the days of the Old Testament. If you will look at some of the Old Testament prophets and you will look through the readings of the Old Testament, that was back in the day before Christ's crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. So how was it that people were saved in the days of the Old Testament? The Old Testament scriptures tell us that it was counted as righteousness toward them. In other words, the best way for me to say this for people to understand it was that they believed in the scripture in light of the fact that there would be a coming Messiah, even though he hadn't arrived yet. Their belief in that was counted to them as righteousness because they believed that down the road, Jesus would come. Jesus would live a sinless life. Jesus would give his life on Calvary's cross and he would resurrect from the dead and complete salvation as you and I know it. Even though it hadn't happened in the days of the Old Testament, those that were counted as righteous, believed that would be taking place. So remember, you're kind of at that cusp in this scripture of going from Old Testament law to New Testament grace. And it says this, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. In other words, he's really talking about salvation at this particular juncture and seeking to establish their own. Folks, there is no other way to get to heaven and into the presence of God but by Jesus Christ. Often at Central Baptist, one of the things that a term that we use or what we say is simply this. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He is the only way. It's not about your ledger system. And Paul gets into that with the people here in a minute. And some of you who may be watching and you say, well, what do you mean the ledger system? There's people today who've got this idea that if I go out and I do good things and I keep my ledger, you know, here are the good things I've done, here are the bad things that I've done. When it's all washes out at the end, if I've got more good things that I've done, then I'm going to be the person that's going to make it to heaven. Folks, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because remember this, what does the Word of God tell us? The Word of God says that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that you can do to earn yourself salvation. And by the same token, there's nothing that you can do that can cost you your salvation. But Paul here is saying that my brethren are not understanding the righteousness of God. They have sought it on their own, like many people today are doing. But verse 4, he goes on and he says this. He says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. So what he was saying there was that when Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross and rose again, there was that new system. Remember the communion that we had 2 weeks ago? That said, this is the new covenant in my blood. There was going to be a new set of systems. No longer would it have to be counted as righteousness to you because you will have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and his accomplishing work on Calvary's cross that bought salvation for each and every one of us. Go back to verse 4. It says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. See, the thing about it is there's a lot of people in our day and age that believe that if they just go around doing good things, the adage is, well, why would God send a good person to hell? Folks, let me tell you something. God doesn't send a good person to hell. A good person sends themselves to hell because they didn't believe and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. You know, so often people sit back and think about what it is that people do. Even in the year 2020, I often ask people, in your opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? And I can't tell you the countless number of times that people will say to me, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. I act good towards others. Folks, hell's going to be full of good people. Hell's going to be full of church people. Hell's going to be full of choir members and deacons and everybody. Listen, it is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that's going to get you there. You can't earn it. There's nothing that you can do. You don't deserve it. That's why it's called God's grace, his unmerited favor toward us. Now verse 5, goes on, and Paul kind of reverts back to the Old Testament days. He says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. And remember I said in verse 5 that what he was doing was that he was quoting an Old Testament passage of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, where he says, the man who does these things shall live by them. But then he goes on in verse 6 and says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend from the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8, but what does it say? This is the question. Notice, but what does it say? The word is near in you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I want to pause right here for just a moment, because so often we get so process-oriented in just about everything that we do in life, and that includes church. If you've been at church with me at the time of invitation, or churches all over this country or even all over this world, we have a time at the end of our service that we call a time of commitment, a time of invitation. What we really are trying to accomplish is for you to deal with what it is that God has placed on your heart. Has he knocked on your heart's door in regard to salvation? And the Lord tells us what the key to salvation is. Now, I want you to pay careful attention with me, because even people that I know that have been saved for many years will often come across this time where they will find themselves having doubts about their salvation. Maybe that's you today as you're watching. Now, notice what Paul says, according to the word of the Lord and according to the Father in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved, you could be saved, or you would be saved for a temporary period of time. It says you will be saved. So what were the two elements that he spoke of here in regard to salvation? He says you confess with your mouth. That's why we have an invitation at the church. It's it's not to call people out. It's not to try to make people do something that's complicated or challenging for them. But man, what a great step. When a person makes an invitational response and they come and say, Pastor, I want you to know that I want to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Or maybe to say, Pastor, I did. I trusted Jesus Christ last night in the privacy of my own room. I asked him to come into my heart and to save my soul. And today I am here to confess with my mouth, with my actions and what I do, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at that once again, verse 9. And if you're having doubts about it, you take these scriptures right here and use them for confidence in your salvation. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now notice what that is. Sometimes we get so churchy. Maybe there's people who've never spent time in church and had that privilege like myself and maybe a lot of other folks, and you sit there and you say, well, believe in your heart. What does that mean? Note that verse 9 again, it says that you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, verse 10, now we're going to talk about the heart for just a second, but verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. What does that mean? So many times, you know, when people say, what does it mean to believe in your heart? How many times have we even used the expression, and you'll say to somebody, you know, I really meant that from the bottom of my heart. Well, you know what that means? What that means is that with all the sincerity that is within you, that is why you're doing that. I trust you from the bottom of my heart. That means I sincerely trust you. Now notice it says, with the heart one believes. Are you sincere in your heart? When you took that time in life to say, Lord Jesus, I have realized I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I don't want to suffer an eternity in hell. I want to walk with you. I want to thank you for what you did in my life through Jesus Christ. Yet, is that sincere? When you are praying that prayer and saying, Lord, come into my life and save my soul, was it sincere? If it was sincere, then you did that with all of your heart. For with the heart, one believes. unto righteousness. And righteousness, what is that? Righteousness being the accomplishment of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in it? You believe that he went to Calvary's cross. You believe that he took all the sins of the world with him. You believe they were buried with him. And you believe that on the third day, Jesus came out of that tomb for you, for me, and for a lost world, for all who would believe. Now, it says once again, verse 10, for with the heart, with all your sincerity, you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, it is so great when somebody comes up and says, hey, I want this church body or my church family to know that today I have received Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate with you just like heaven is. I love the scripture that tells us that when one person received Christ, it says that all of the saints in heaven rejoice over that decision to trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We as a church body want to celebrate as well. That's why I tell our viewing audience, even if you're not part of our church, if the Lord's moved in your life and you have trusted him with all your heart, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to try to get in your pocket. All we want to do is try to help you along the way in your spiritual journey to get the joy and the fullness out of that walk. So please don't hesitate to contact us. And if you're listening today and you've never done that, yeah, you've been operating under the auspice of the Jews of that day. Well, if I'm just a good person and I got enough good stuff in my ledger, then I'm going to be okay. Folks, you're going to die and bust hell wide open. You need Jesus. And if that's you today, I want you to stop right where you are. And I want you to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I realize with all the sincerity of my heart what you did on Calvary's cross. Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you did that with sincerity, with all of your heart, your name's been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of heaven is celebrating. Let us celebrate with you. Contact us, www.oakridgecbc.org. We want to celebrate with you along the way. Then he goes on, he says this in verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew nor Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Now, remember what we talked about before. When we were talking about the days of the Old Testament, we talk about even to this very day that the Jewish nation or the people of Israel are God's chosen people. Yeah, and Jesus said throughout the New Testament that he said that the scriptures and salvation was first to be preached to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Now, this is a really good question. Don't think that it's a dumb question, but I've been asked this so many times that people have said to me, they said, well, how do I know whether I'm a Jew or a Gentile? Or a lot of people come to me and say, well, preacher, am I a Gentile? And my response to that is simply this, are you a Jew? And everybody, 100% of the people I've talked to have said, well, no, I'm not Jewish. So I said, then you're a Gentile. Back in the day, you got to remember, it says when Jesus came, he came to his own being the Jewish people, and his own received him not, that salvation might be made available to the Gentile, which is me and you. So this was a big deal. You have to remember that even when the disciples first began to preach Jesus Christ in the midst of the formulation of the New Testament church, even the disciples were looking at Paul going, man, you're not supposed to be preaching salvation to the Gentile people. That's for the Jews only. Thanks be to God, it's not. Look at verse 12. It says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. Remember what all means? All means all, and that's all that all means. That includes you. That includes me. That means salvation is not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And it says that the Lord is rich to all who call on him. Are you calling on him today? Have you called on him in regard to salvation? Because this is what I love, and this refutes a lot of what I consider to be false teaching that's going on today. Verse 13 says this, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever you are. I don't believe that in God's love and his grace that he created a certain group of people to go to hell and a certain people to go to heaven. I believe that salvation, according to his word, is extended to everyone. everyone. He stands at the door and knocks. If you will open the door and allow him in, he will provide salvation for you. Has the Lord knocked on your heart's door? You are a whoever. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're having doubts about your salvation today, underline that. Highlight it. Put it in the front of your Bible. Whoever, that includes you, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he goes on and he says what they should be doing. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? You know what he's saying at that particular point after that? And this is specifically true for those of us who know and love and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're supposed to tell other people. Listen, that's a great joy that you have found in your heart and your life. Tell other people. Yeah, I know it's scary. I know some people say, I don't know how to do that. Listen, what are some things that you need to adjust in your life to be the witness that God wants you to be? And let me throw this in there as well. A lot of people sit back and say, well, you know, I don't really go out and tell people, but I try to live for the Lord. You do have a testimony, an unspoken testimony. People are watching what you do. They are watching how you live your life. Let me make you a promise. You can't go to church on Sunday and sit there and sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and then go out there and live like hell itself the rest of the week. Because people are going to look at you and they're going to say, well, the confession that you've made toward Jesus, you don't really believe that because you're only living that one day a week. You're not living that the other 6 days out of the week. And then what they do is they look at you and they look at you as being a hypocrite. They say, well, that's just a hypocrite right there. And you know what? A lost world is watching you too. And they sit back and say, well, if that's what salvation, that person's not any different than I am. Listen, be careful of your unspoken testimony to all who see you. Wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, let me make a promise to you. Somebody is watching you. You know, you might sit back and say, well, I'm not a significant person. Somebody is watching your life. What is your life telling them about Jesus Christ? Not what your action on Sunday morning is alone. Is your action on Sunday morning being backed up by your walk through the rest of the week? It's a huge thing. He said, well, how will they know unless they hear? You know, that's a challenge for each and every one of us who are believers to understand this. We're responsible to tell people about Jesus Christ, and why would we not want to? It's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Let me make you this promise. If there is somebody that you know and that you love, then you need to be telling them about Jesus, lest they find themselves suffering eternity throughout all of hell. You know, and what that means we need to have a burden for lost people. I don't see that burden in this day and age like I used to in yesteryear. You know, when's the last time God broke your heart over a lost person? You know, because you love them, because you care about them, and you want to see them throughout all of eternity in the presence of a holy God through Jesus Christ. You know, shouldn't that give you a little bit of courage to be able to go and share your faith with them no matter what? What is your burden? I want to challenge you this week to find the burden for lost people. Pick one. Begin to pray for them. Begin to allow the Lord to burden your life to the point that you have to do something. You cannot wait to share Jesus Christ with them, and He'll do it. Get that burden. How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless they're told? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? It's up to you and I. Thanks be to God that He still uses people to get His message out to a lost and dying world. I like what he says down there in verse 15. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, blessed are the feet that go in His name. How your feet? Check your feet. What do they look like? Do you have beautiful feet as you carry our Lord and Savior, the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, and the sustaining grace of a walk with Jesus Christ? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to give you a couple of announcements here. The challenge this week, find your burden for that lost person. Begin to pray about them and allow the Lord to work in your life that you might be an instrument in His hand to bring about salvation to those lost and dying souls. Listen, next week is actually going to be on Wednesday the 19th. I'm going to go ahead and give you your scripture readings for this week. What we do, we just ask you, read one chapter a day. Don't sit there and wait till Tuesday and then try to read all of it. We want you to take the time to allow the Lord to let these scriptures wash over you. Take that just one chapter a day. Since it's a 7-day week, we only give you 5 of them. That's the D-Life scheduled program. That even gives you your weekend, or if you miss a day, you're still okay. But the scriptures for this coming week, and you can start tonight if you want, is going to be Romans chapter 14 through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Once again, that's Romans chapter 14 through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I will post these a little bit later, so you should be able to see those on our Facebook site as well. Next week, we're going to be talking about the foolishness of the cross, which comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. So take that time, gather around God's word, and we look forward to having you join us next week. Just a couple of things I want to mention. I do want to mention that for those who are part of our church family, the Central Baptist Church family, we do have our annual business meeting coming up this Sunday. It will take place right after our morning service. This is the annual business meeting that is designed or required by law for us to have. And in that business meeting, we will be voting on the 2020-2021 nominating committee report. Those reports are available at the church. If you happen to be by there, I know a lot of folks have already picked them up. You can pick them up in the lobby outside the main office, or if you're over in the sanctuary, they're on the welcome table at the narthex. If you have any questions, call the church office. Let Debbie know, and she will get somebody from the nominating committee to answer your question. Also, if you're a part of our viewing family that's a church member and you haven't been comfortable getting out yet and you're watching us live on Sundays, you can call your vote in. We urge you to do that because tomorrow is the last day the office is open before Sunday. So we've been letting folks know you can call on our office hours between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday. So the vote's just going to be a simple yes or no vote. If you're a member, you can call the office. Debbie will tally your vote, and it will be recorded with those that vote by ballot on Sunday. If you're going to be there on Sunday, it will simply be a tear-off yes or no ballot. So we look forward to seeing you Sunday. Just a very quick meeting. Brother Ernie will reside on that as soon as we get finished with our service on Sunday. And finally, I just want to remind folks, please maintain your giving, not just so that the church can continue to function, but that you can be blessed. See, tithing is really not all about just what God can use that money's for as far as missions and getting the word out, but it's also that you might be faithful in what God has commanded us to do, to be faithful to the tithe. If you're struggling with that, let me encourage you to read the book of Malachi chapter 3. But if you would like to give to our church, if you're not a member and you're not and you don't have a home church, we encourage you to support this ministry that others might have the opportunity to hear these broadcasts and to see the ministry of the church. We're praying that God will just see so many souls come to know Him because of your faithfulness. If you want to support us, our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, there is a giving tab there. You can give electronically. If you happen to be in the area, you can drop the tithe by the church at 1715 Highway 68, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Or if you mail it, you can mail in your tithe to P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. That's our church address. And we will see to it that it gets counted for the glory of God to continue to do His business. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me dismiss us in a word of prayer and ask the offering, the prayer upon the offering. And we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, either in person at Central Baptist Church or by way of our live stream on our Facebook pages. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your love, for your mercy. We thank you again, Lord, that salvation could not be accomplished by any other means other than Jesus Christ. But Father, today we're grateful for the Savior who took all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, to Calvary's cross, that we might have eternal life, that we might be forgiven. Lord, I pray that we will truly learn to live in your love and live in your grace. Father, for those that don't know you, I pray that they will understand that salvation is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. And if my ledger of do's outweighs my ledgers of don't, that means heaven, because that's not true. Lord, I pray that you will tug at their heartstrings, that with all sincerity, they will give their life to you. They will walk with you. They will follow you. And they might be the true essence of a believer, sharing the gospel message wherever they may go, in word and in deed. Father, give them a great week. Give them an extra special blessing for having gathered around your word this evening. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you Sunday.